All right, this is Justinus, first scourged and then beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ in AD 168. Justinus was called a son of Priscus Bacchus and was born of Greek parents at Neapolis in Palestine. In its proper place, we have spoken of the views of Justinus concerning baptism on faith and have shown that he was sound and correct in them. Now, however, it is proper for us to speak of his spiritual birth, of his heavenly fatherland, and how conclusively he showed that he was a child of God and a citizen of the heavenly city, filled with all good things which appeared not only in the beginning and progress of his faith, but especially in the end when he testified to its power with his death and sealed it with his blood. In the days of his youth, he was instructed in the Platonic philosophy, in which he acquitted himself so meritoriously that he received the name philosopher. Yea, he had been led to believe that his learning would soon enable him to see God, which was the ultimate object of the Platonic philosophy. Plato, okay? But it happened one day as he was going toward the sea in order to meditate in solitude upon what he had learned, that, as he himself had confessed, there followed him a very grave and gentle old man who, having entered in a discourse with him, respecting the Platonic philosophy, taught him in what true philosophy and happiness consisted, namely, in the saving knowledge of the only eternal and alone immortal God. Now, when Justinus inquired for the teachers from whom he might learn this divine philosophy, the old man referred him to the writings of the prophets, who did not write according to the argumentation of human reason, but as certain and infallible witnesses. Left behind what they had seen and heard of the truth and the wonderful signs and works of God among his people, and that all their prophecies concerning the promised Messiah, the Son of God, were fulfilled in the advent of Jesus Christ, who was born in the reign of Emperor Augustus. He therefore admonished him to pray to God that he would enlighten his heart to this saving doctrine through Jesus Christ, without whom it would not be possible for him to attain to this saving knowledge. Get this next part here. This and many more such discourses, writes Justinus, this old man had with me, showing me also how I should further increase and how I might obtain the things necessary to salvation. Look at this. He says, this and many more such discourses this old man had with me. It wasn't in just one meeting. It was many discourses did this young man and this old man have conversations in order to bring this young man along to see the truth of the gospel. And my point in saying is all that, in saying that, is that salvation isn't a quick one-time thing.
Amen.
I know sometimes it does happen like that, but usually not. And we need to be willing to be patient with people and to help them, to teach them, to bring them along, to answer their questions. That's what we need to be willing to do. That's what happened in this young man's case, all right? Can you go ahead and turn the TV off for me, please? See, then he went away and I saw him no more. Immediately a burning desire was kindled in my heart and a love for the scriptures of the prophets and those men who had been dear friends of Christ, namely the apostles. Then only I became a true philosopher. So that's his salvation right there. As to how and by whom, beside the instruction of the aforesaid old man, he was first instructed and baptized, or from what cause he left his native land and came to Syria, Palestine, or Samaria to Rome, of this we find no account. He afterwards had a disputation with Tryphon, a Jew. Of this he himself has written an account, in which may be seen in his correct views in regard to different matters of faith, especially to baptism. Of this we have spoken in another place. But finally, having entered into a controversy with Crescens, a Cynic philosopher, and having vanquished and confounded him by the power of divine arguments, his uncertain life began to draw to a close and his certain death to approach. For by reason of this Cynic, that is, canine philosopher, conceived such a deadly hatred for Justinus that he swore to avenge it with his death. And from that time on did not cease to lay snares for him and accuse him as a Christian until he had quenched his thirst for blood with the blood of Justinus. This Tatianus, the disciple of Justinus, gives to understand in his oration against the Greeks in language not at all obscure, namely that the above-mentioned Crescens did not only seek the life of Justinus, but also that of himself. So this Crescens wanted to kill Justinus and Tatianus, Justinus's disciple. Moreover, Photius states that he tasted a joyful and worthy death by the hands of Crescens Cynicus, the person whom we have just mentioned. Touching the manner of his death, when Justinus had been apprehended on the accusation of Crescens and boldly refused to abandon his faith or sacrifice to the gods, he was sentenced to death by Rusticus, the president, and after having been scourged, he was beheaded with the axe about AD 168 in the time of the reign of the emperors Marcus Aurelius and Lucius Verus and of the president Rusticus, as is annotated from Epiphanius. So he was scourged and beheaded with the axe. His scourging would have been something like what Christ went through, because it was the Romans doing it. And that's how that faithful martyr came to meet his death, for simply, earnestly contending for the faith. And he was willing to die for it. Are we willing to live for it? Amen. Now, what I just preached before we got to this is maybe having to make some changes to our life, and maybe some of the things we've thought, and what we maybe some hopes we had planned, some dreams we'd set forth for ourselves. I hope with after having read that and this man willing to die to earnestly contend for the faith, we would begin to recognize and realize that maybe what I thought is such a big deal isn't truly as big a deal as I thought it was. And maybe I can sacrifice something for my Lord, because after all, I'm not having to face prison or death to stand for the faith. Maybe that what we thought was a big challenge before us, and what we thought was really difficult and would be hard to do, and maybe we were all mad about it, maybe now with having read something like this, it got just a little bit smaller. And it's not as big a deal as I thought it might have been. Because honestly, we have it so good. We have it so good. And there's not one of you ladies here that's suffering for lack of anything. And if you are, let me know. I'll help you if you need it. I mean it. If you don't have food or something, you don't have protection, shelter, I'll help you. And I know there's others in this church that would. But I know that's not the case. That's not the case. We've got it so good. Is it really all that hard to follow our Lord as He dictates? It's not. Shouldn't be. We can ask God's help in all that. We need to. God will help us with it.